Good morning, church family. I couldn't think of a better Sabbath to join your church. It was when you're having two baptisms. It reminded me of when Brent baptized me. And what a beautiful, beautiful day that was. This last week has been really difficult for me. The devil just keeps, he seems to just keep attacking me. And I know there's many of you that probably feel the same way. Just makes me realize how much we need Jesus every day. And that we need to ask him daily to come into our lives to change us. There's so many people in this world that need him, that don't know him. And Jesus wants us to be the ones that share Jesus with them. So today, I just ask that our Heavenly Father gives us Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
With your Holy Spirit, that we may truly know your love, that we may be able to share it with the world, Lord. Help us to be more like you each and every day. Oh Lord, help us to be more like you, I pray. Father, give us Jesus every day.
Love that song. Give me Jesus. Thank you, Jeanne. Thank you that you gave your life to Jesus. that you want to serve Him, make a difference for God. It's a blessing. There's something in the air, you can almost feel it, in English Oaks. I believe God is getting ready to do something special in our church. It's kind of like catching a wave. Do I have any surfers in our midst? Gone too far? Thank you. I have a good friend, a pastor friend. He's been surfing his whole life. And he talks about, you get around him, all he wants to talk about is surfing. It's kind of like a fisherman with fishing and all that. It's the same thing with surfers. And he went to Hawaii one time, and he got back, and he's telling me all about the waves. He says, it's incredible. You're waiting for these perfect waves, and they're huge. And he says, when you ride that wave, it's like it's nothing like it in the world. It's like this exhilaration, euphoric experience you feel when you catch the right wave and you ride that thing. There is a wave coming through this church right now. And it's awesome because God wants to do something special. The question is, will you catch the wave? You say, Ben, a lot of times the waves come and I've kind of, ignored it or whatever. I wasn't part of it. You missed out. Well, don't miss this one. Be part of what God wants to do right now in this church. And that wave is we are starting small groups. You're saying, oh, that doesn't sound like a big deal. It's a big deal. We're starting small groups right here, and I am praying, I'm hoping, I'm pleading with God that God will convict you of your need of small groups. See, the moment I'm saying this, you're saying right off, I'm too busy for that. You cut me off before I get to the next sentence. Ask God if you'd be part of a small group. Do not worry about your time and how much you're doing. Make room for God in your life. Every Wednesday, it's just been amazing. All the leaders have been getting together. Stephanie's been training our leaders and preparing for these small groups. And we had 26 leaders there on Wednesday night. It's exciting. There's more there preparing themselves. But just great to be part of this. People are signing up out there. I see some of the lists are starting to fill up. People are praying who they're going to invite to their small groups. Don't miss the wave. Don't miss the blessing that God wants to pour out on your life. Jesus started His movement, His church, with a small group. He chose 12 common, ordinary, uneducated nobodies, and He changed the world. We sit here today after almost 2,000 years because Jesus started a small group. Is that incredible? We sit, every one of us right here today are sitting here in this church because Jesus got a hold of 12 men. And He poured Himself into those 12 men for 3.5 years. And this world has been radically changed because Jesus got close and built relationships with 12 nobodies. And I believe if God can change the world through 12 nobodies, fishermen, tax collectors, and sinners, and even outcasts, I believe that God can change this church and our community today. And He can do it through small groups. I'm excited. The wave is coming. Will you get on? Will you ride that wave that God wants and where He wants to take you? God, see, Jesus was preparing these men to take the gospel to the world. He was preparing that these men would go out and actually make disciples of all nations. Now, can you imagine when Jesus commissioned those disciples? Can you imagine them sitting there and there's 12 sitting there and Jesus saying, go take the gospel to the entire world. Go make disciples of everybody in the whole world. What would you think? Can you imagine those disciples? But see, they were called, and Jesus has been working on them, developing a relationship with them, and getting close to them, and preparing them for this incredible work that God laid on their life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking You to be here this morning. I'm asking your Spirit, Father, to come because we need your Spirit to speak today. Lord, we are starting a new adventure for English Oaks. And Father, I pray every person here will get on board and experience the blessing that you want to pour out in Jesus' name. Have you ever gone to church and said to yourself, you know, church has got to be more than this? Ever said that? Now, I was in public evangelism. My wife and I, we traveled around for over 16 years full-time from church to church. And my wife, the worst day for her was the opening Sabbath. We would show up. She wouldn't know anybody, and she hated that because she would walk in. She would walk in and many times, get this, now she's the preacher's wife, and many times nobody would say a word to her. They would not welcome her. They would not say hi to her, and she would go sit alone. I would preach. Of course, everybody would come say hi to me. I'm the preacher. And one day we're north here, and we're doing some meetings, and it was a crazy bird, a crazy pigeon, out in the parking lot. My little boy, I think, is around almost 2 years old. And my wife's out there, and this crazy pigeon comes and lands on my little boy. Right there. Here's my wife. And my wife has her hands full. She can't get the pigeon off. She said, get off there, and the pigeon won't get off my boy. My little boy is screaming. He's afraid of this loud this bird. When she goes into the sanctuary, she sits behind this lady, and my little boy, he's still just, you know, scared, and he's crying, and he's out of control a little bit, and this woman turns around and says, there's a mother's room in the back. Of course, my wife tried to quiet Caleb down, and a little while later, she turns around, hey, there's a mother's room in the back, 3 times. And my wife, after that experience, is sitting there in that church, and she says to herself, there's got to be more to church than this. Can you relate with my wife? Have you ever said that? There's got to be more than this? You know there's more. There's something missing. You know it. You can't put your finger on it. I read the book of Acts, and it bothers me. I don't like reading the first few chapters of Acts. It bothers me. It gets under my skin a little bit because when I read Acts, it's all about miracles and power and mass conversions and all these people coming to Christ. And then I look at our church. Sorry, my church. It bothers me. Because obviously there's something missing. I know God hasn't changed. His mission hasn't changed. He still promised the Holy Spirit. What are we missing? I want you to take your Bible and turn to Acts 2 again. Acts 2. I believe in Acts 2, God gives the blueprint of what makes a healthy, growing church. It also is a blueprint how to disciple new believers. And it's also a blueprint how to have small groups. Now, we looked at this last week, but I want to look at a little different perspective, some of the benefits of what God has promised as we follow his model. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, when I read that, the thing that jumps out to me, can you imagine 3,000 people coming to Christ all at the same time? I mean, just imagine, all of a sudden, we have 3,000 people joining our church today and filling this sanctuary, 3,000 people. What in the world would we do? How would you organize that? I mean, instantly, Monday morning, man, we're out looking for property. We're going to build a new church. You know, there's the fire marshal would get down here and try to shut us down. I mean, imagine those disciples. 3,000 people. 3,000 people at one time. What are they going to do? They knew exactly what to do. They had been taught and trained and discipled by the greatest rabbi this world's ever seen. They take these people and they put them in small groups. There was still public preaching. Groups are still going to the temple. There's still a place for corporate worship. But it's interesting what happened. And go to verse 42 again. It's there. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayer." Continuing in the apostles' doctrines, the New Living Translation says, they devote themselves to the apostles' teachings. Last week we studied how these new believers, these apostles, they would continually show how Jesus fulfilled Bible prophecy of the Old Testament. But more than that, they continually told the stories of Jesus. You know, it's a perfect song, Jeanne. I didn't know you were going to sing that. That's a perfect song. Because I don't know about you, but I'm saying that when I wake up, give me Jesus, man, today. I want the real thing today. What the world needs more than anything else, they need Jesus today. You know, when I came to Christ and I was born again, I'm telling you, it was light to darkness, the whole thing. I could not get enough of the Word of God, but especially I could not get enough of the Gospels. I read them over and over again, and I fell deeply in love with Jesus through the study of His stories, the story of His life. And that's why in our small groups, we are going to be studying the stories of Jesus. Do you guys ever get tired of the stories of Jesus? I mean, you can read those things 10,000 times or more. And you can always find something new and exciting as you study the stories of Jesus. See, when I was without Christ, I tell you, I was so hungry for Christ. This world makes me hungry for Christ. Those 3,000 believers, when they heard about Christ, He fulfilled prophecy, He's the Messiah, He's the Son of God, and we killed Him, we murdered Him. All they could think about, I got to know this Jesus. People that live around you still need Jesus. There's people in this church that still need Christ. Those disciples had 3,000 kindergartners that needed Jesus, and they need a lot of discipling. They need a lot of educating. And the first lesson that we learn from the early church is that early church was a learning church. They continued in the apostles' doctrines. They continued to learn and to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, I learned knowledge in my life basically four ways. The first is my devotional life. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have a devotional life, you will never get to know Jesus Christ, period. It's my personal time with Christ is how I get to know Jesus. It can't happen just coming to church once a week. That just makes me hungry. It's my devotional time with God. More than that, it's the public preaching of the Word of God. You come and you hear a sermon, maybe you're on 3ABN, wherever it is, you hear sermons and we learn and we grow. There's also, we learn from studies, lectures, Sabbath schools. I love Lester and all these teachers that we have in our church. We learn and we grow from those kind of things. We learn from books and radio and all kinds of methods. But there's one method that seems to be missing in Adventism, and that is the small group Bible study. See, the small group Bible study isn't so much about information. It's more about interactive Bible study. It's not a study where the expert person is ready to unload his wealth of information that comes into the small groups and dominates the small group because he knows everything or she knows everything. No, the small group is about everybody participating. And that's what I love about the stories of Jesus. Anybody can come off the street, knows nothing about Christ. They can walk into your small group and find a blessing. And you can find a blessing. You know, I've asked, and I didn't see, is Jill here? There she is. Do you have a mic? Yes. Jill, she was so excited about this method that I've asked her to share a little bit why you believe that this method is going to make a big difference and why this small group is going to work.
Well, when we Hello?
There. Okay.
When we first heard about it, Andy and I kind of discussed whether or not we'd want to attend a group or possibly lead out. And, of course, all the usual conflicts and thoughts went through our heads, like, oh, my goodness, we're so busy, and what if it doesn't work out well? What if it's not organized well? What if we can't get our act together and everyone hates us after we open our home or something? But so anyway, we kept talking about it all summer, though, and then I had read a book earlier that had a discussion guide in the back, and I thought, well, this would be an easy enough way to have a Bible study. So I was kind of leaning toward that, and I talked to Stephanie, and she said, well, just come to the leaders' meeting and see what you think about what we're going to do. And so I had no idea what you guys were planning, but it is really fun. And all of my hesitations and excuses and everything went out the window as soon as I came to that first leaders' meeting, because basically there is no preparation, and everybody contributes equally. So it's pretty much guaranteed a success. Plus, it was just so much fun to share a Bible story together, but then you can go as deep as you want to, just sharing how it relates to your life and how you relate to different people in the story. And super easy, very little preparation. So I came home and I said, Andy, we can do this. We Amen. Can do this. Amen. We can make this work, and it's going to be a very great experience for everyone. So I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, it is simple, and that's the key. It's simple. No homework. You guys want homework? You don't want homework. It's simple. You can come anytime. You can miss a week. It's okay. By the way, these are not unending groups. They're not going to go for infinity. They're going for 10 weeks. Try it. Check it out. It is simple. A lot of people say, well, I don't need this. You know, I know the truth, and I know the doctrines, and I don't need this. If you're saying that, you're the one that needs it. You're the one that needs it. There's a whole new experience waiting for you. You know, last Wednesday, I was amazed. All the leaders that were there, and we're studying this simple story that we have studied maybe, I don't know, I've read it thousands of times probably. And we're studying this thing, and there is new insights that come out. And what I love about it, the key is to this interactive type Bible study, is we apply these stories to our life. And that's where it makes a difference. So it's simple. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You're going to say, man, I don't know hardly anything about the Word of God. Everybody's going to dominate. No, anybody can be there. There's another piece of the blueprint that makes healthy churches and groups, and that is a connecting church, a church that's a loving church, a caring church. See, it's not just learning. See, a lot of times we go to small groups, and small groups have failed because it's just about learning. Facts about Scripture and truth and so on. But actually the key to these small groups is our relationships that we build and we have with each other, more than actually study itself. So this is the key. We're learning to fellowship. And of course the apostles' fellowship, they devoted themselves to fellowship, spending time, and they did it daily. This is an area of weakness in our church. Have you ever gone to church and nobody said hello to you? Never, right? Have you ever gone to church and people ignored you, did not look at you, look away, did not smile at you, did not say hi to you? Have you ever been to a church like that? I'm telling you, it happens all the time. I thought we were a church that they will know we're disciples because we have love one for another. How many people have come up to me over the years and say, man, I tell you, I went to your church and nobody said hello to me. Nobody showed that they cared for me. And they walked away. So they slipped in the back door. They sat down. Nobody said hi. They slipped out, and that was it. I want that to change in this church. And I think small groups is vital, and I think that it can change. Now, Stephanie has a little story that she's going to share of what happened in Denver in a small group. And I think it's important. Go ahead.
We had a ladies group, and in my ladies group, most of them were either new to the community or new to the church. And it was so neat to see this one Sabbath. A lady had come to our group who had just moved there, and another lady who had just joined the church. She'd lived in the community for quite a long time, but had just joined the church. And they kind of had this connection. And it was great to see because the one had lived there for a long time and she was, you know, introducing her to things. Well, I noticed at church then that next Sabbath when I walked in the back, they were, one of them was sitting in the back row and the other one walked in and she was looking around the church like, oh man, where am I going to go? Where am I going to fit? Is there anybody I can sit with? And the other gal saw her and she waved from clear across the sanctuary, like, come sit over here. And she went over there and there was this big hug and they sat together. And that next week in our small group, I asked them, I said, how was your experience at church this last week? And the one gal who went and sat with the other one, she said, wow, it really seemed warmer this week. It was just really great.
That's great. People get lost in a church this size. That's why small groups are so important for connection. In 1 John 1 and verse 3 and 4, that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Joy comes not just with fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The fellowship comes with each other. Deep relationships that we have with each other. In verse, back to Acts, it says, now all who believe were together, had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods, divide them among all as anyone had need. They were sharing everything. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Folks, what we need is small groups. It's where we find out how to love one another, how to care for each other, how to trust and lean on each other. I've asked my friend Jeff Downing because he was describing a small group that he was part of. Jeff, share what a small group meant to you. Green mic.
I was telling Brent the other day about a small group that I participated in and a couple of events that had taken place with us. One story that I think is pretty important about how close people can get to each other is that I was delivering food in Mexico to an orphanage. And our pickup truck broke down, and 12 hours later, two of the guys that I had bonded with in a small group showed up with a truck and the equipment to tow us all the way back to Lodi. Amen. And another occasion, we had a roofing contractor that was a member of the small group, and he had fallen through a roof and had injured himself, and the group actually put the resources for the family to support him until he could get back to work.
Wow.
That was the kind of love that came out of that small group.
It's just... You know, that's what it's about. We bond together. We get close to one another. Where's Leon? I thought I saw. There's Leon. Do you have a mic? Do we have a mic? Get a mic to Leon. I'm going to keep going. Small groups. We come. And there's one thing I want to say. If you're going to be part of a small group, come with an open heart. Come with an open mind. Do not come guarded. You know, we come guarded. We put on this face. We have it all together. You know, we don't have any struggles. Well, guess what? If you don't have a struggle, you're the only person that I know of. You know, we're all struggling. Don't come with this thing, I got all the answers. Do not sit in that group like you know everything about Scripture and you know it all and you don't have any sin problems, nothing going on. Come as an open book and watch how it brings you all together and you'll be amazed what God will do. Leon, what has the small group meant to you?
Well, you know, Pastor, I've been a member of the church. In fact, grew up in an Adventist family. And about 2 years ago, believe it or not, next month will be 2 years since we started ours.
Amen.
But what has been wonderful, and I recommend to every church member, if you want to become a part of a family, this is the way to do it. We have seen answers to prayers that you just wouldn't believe because of the discussions we have, but then after that we have a season of prayer. Pastor, I recommend it to everyone. Your life will never be the same.
Amen. Thank you, Leon. You know, it is true. Once you get be part and you get close to people, you have a hard time breaking away. It becomes so important in your walk with Jesus. You know, it's interesting, too, that these people, they also, these early disciples, they prayed together. They broke bread together. They ate together. You know, they were growing together over and over again. They worship in the temple daily together. You can see why they were so powerful and so unified. Folks, we're asking for an hour and a half every week. That's it. An hour and a half to recharge your batteries, to have somebody pray for you. You know, it's nothing like getting a phone call. Somebody calls you up. They know you're struggling. They call up and they say, you know, I just want to pray for you. I feel impressed to pray for you. I know you're going through tough times. What does that do for you when somebody calls and prays for you? There might be people here today that are struggling. You have some type of struggle in your life that you're going through. You've got a sin problem. You've got a marriage that's falling apart. You've lost your job. Man, it's great to know that people, there's a group of people that know you're struggling and they're praying for you. That's what this is all about. Intimacy will grow. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not part of a small group, if you're not planning to be there, you are going to miss out. You are going to miss out on a blessing. If all you do is come to church once in a while, but you're not meeting a small group in a home, your church experience is like being a couple who got married but never moves in together. Some of you didn't hear me. See, you're missing the good stuff. The intimacy of church does not happen here. The intimacy of relationship like Jesus had with his disciples happens in small groups together, growing. And we are missing this piece that is so vital. You know, Charlotte, I love this woman. I can remember her. She is one, we've been around a long time, it seems like. But Charlotte, what has the small group that you've been part of done for you?
You know, it's really kind of strange because when Bob and I both first came into the church through your seminar, we didn't know anybody, and it took probably a matter of 3 weeks after being baptized and came into the church. One of the people that was baptized the same time that we were, she came up to me and asked if I'd like to get together with her and have a Bible study. And I said, sure. Who's going to, you know, lead us out? She says, well, I don't know, but we'll find somebody. Well, for the first three times, there was nobody. It was just her and I. Well, then Glenn got word of that and got us some help. And over a period of a year, it wound up with 8 people in that group. And today, those 8 people are still very much a part of our lives, very important. And I can remember that I left. Bob and I left and moved about 2 years, I think, after we came into the church and had to move up to Washington. And I never left the group. I was on the phone every week when that group met. I was still there.
That's awesome.
We got into a really bad automobile accident. And Bob was paralyzed. And they didn't know if he was going to come out of it or what. The first thing I did was pick up my phone and called my group.
Amen.
They all got together on the phone and prayed. And within 6 hours... he was fine, and the doctors couldn't figure out what in the world happened. And I just told them it's the love of God, for one thing, and prayer.
Amen.
And we're still, to this day, very, very close in our group.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I was trying to recruit her to my group, and she says, no, I have my group. Leave me alone. But that's what happens when you get close. You turn to them in times of need. You know, there's another point. They grow together. In Acts 2:47, it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. See, as a good small group, one that will last and will not fail, is not just a small group that nurtures one another, but it's a small group that looks to reach out, to disciple other people, to evangelize. See, this is a great opportunity to invite your neighbors. What is easier, to invite your neighbors to your home, to a simple little study, or to church? Think about it. Invite them to your home. That will open them up to the Word of God. And as they see love in you and your passion for Christ, they will want what you have. Small group is a place to learn. It's a place to be discipled. It's a place to find what your spiritual gifts are. It's a place to serve. So many things happen in a small group. The church, for too long, has become a pastor-driven, clergy-driven, institutional-driven movement. It's the idea the pastor is the paid player. And all of you are the fans. You are the spectators. Folks, it's time that we get rid of that model. It's time that we get back to Christ's model, that every person is a minister, the priesthood of all believers. In Ephesians 4, he says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church started with a lay movement. Adventism started with a lay movement. Let's get back to the lay movement again. In verse 16, it says this, "For whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Everybody does their part with their gifts, and you can find it right there in the small group. See, I grew up playing sports, and I was a sports fanatic. Now, I want you to know, I still like sports, but I'm a Jesus fanatic now. But sports, I was a fanatic. And one thing about me, I hated sitting on the bench. In fact, I never sat on the bench, just one few times. But I love sports. To sit on the bench, man, I wanted to play. And too many times, people have been sitting in the bleachers, sitting in the stand on the benches rather than playing. Folks, don't you want to play? The Spirit of God is getting ready to pour out. I mean, He's going to be poured out on you when you get out and play. If you want the baptism of the Spirit, get out and play. Watch the Spirit of God fall on your life. Dwight L. Moody was visiting a prominent Chicago citizen when the idea of church membership and involvement came up. The man said to Dwight, he says, "I believe I can be just a good Christian outside the church as I can inside the church." Moody didn't say a word. All he did, it just happened to be winter and the fire was blazing. He goes and he pulls out a coal and he sets that coal on the hearth. And then he just goes and sits down. And him and the man watch as that coal, as it burns out, dies out. Dwight doesn't say a word. And the other man says, "I see." And walked out. Well, that's the way it really is in the church. If you think you're the Lone Ranger and you think you can make it on your own, you can't. You can never develop the character of Jesus Christ. You can never become like Him until you become discipled and you disciple others and you reproduce yourself. It happens in small groups, and it's a piece that Adventism is missing. And if Adventism would get back on board to the model of Christ, we would see our church begin to grow again. And we wouldn't be on the losing team because God wants our church to win. This week, Kiana, my little girl is at an age that you take up and listen. And she says to my wife, "How come in the Bible it seems like everyone is brave for Jesus and did great things for Him? It doesn't seem," he says, "today, it doesn't seem like we do anything for Jesus." Well, needless to say, you know the fire up at Auburn? 63 homes were burnt and so on. I don't know if you know, there's a little thing that she put together. She has a goal. And guess what? We're going up Sunday to help all the people in Auburn. You know, it's amazing, really, when you think about it. If you want the fire, if you want to ignite the fire again in your life, then do something about it. Get involved in a small group. It will get your devotional life going. It will make church more interesting and exciting. You want to do something, all of a sudden you'll start sharing your faith. When you get to know Jesus through the stories of Jesus, don't let the wave pass you by. Go out there and sign up. And if there's no more sign-ups, we'll make another group. Let's not just be the church. Let's not just go to church, I should say. Let's be the church. Amen? Let's be the church. Not once a week. Let's be the church in our community. Let's grow together. The Spirit of God would descend on your group. The Spirit of God would descend on your life. And blessings that you can't even imagine are going to happen. And you'll get to a place that you can't live without a small group. I want to sing a song, and it's late enough. I have another story, but I'm going to quit. My wife's like, oh, I want that story. But I think I'll share it again. Just go for it. Tell the story. No. Okay, I'll tell the story. My wife has spoken again. I heard on it's getting late, but up in Focus on the Family, they had a story this last week. It's about a ranch up out of Bend, Oregon. How many did you hear the story? Anybody? An incredible story about a young family that started this place for abused kids and abused horses. And one day one of these caseworkers shows up with a little boy named Adam. He's just a little skinny guy. He won't look at anybody. And the first thing she notices about this boy is his eyes are sunken and they're shadowed. And he did not smile. He was drawn into himself. You could tell he just wanted to get away. Come to find out, this little boy knew more terror in his little few years of life than most people know their entire life. This boy comes up and she tries to start a conversation. Kim, this one of the owners of the ranch, the one that started the ranch, the founders, she tries to start a conversation with this young boy, Adam. And he won't hardly talk. She says, have you ever ridden a horse before? He shook his head. Would you like to ride a horse? We have a pony. Have you ever ridden? Would you like to ride a horse? And he kind of looked up like, can I really? And she says, yeah, we have a horse over here, a little pony. And you can ride that pony. And as he begins to, it's right over there behind the barn. Why don't we go over there? And they start their way over there. And he gets a little grin. And when she sees the grin, almost all of his teeth to her whore are broken out. And she's horrified. She looks at the caseworker. And as they're walking along, the caseworker says, you know, most fathers are supposed to love and support and all that kind of stuff, their children. Well, this dad would get drunk and beat up on his son and almost knocked out all of his teeth. And when he was drunk, he would actually have his boy run around the backyard and he would take a rifle and shoot at his boy. They get to the pen and Kim is showing the halter and the bridle. They groom the horse. They put a saddle on. She's talking about how to ride, how to get up on the horse. And he's standing there on the left shoulder of the horse. And she steps away, wonders what's going to happen. This boy is just standing here. And all of a sudden, this little pony does something she's never seen before or since. This little pony takes his little head and he wraps this little boy and holds this boy so tight that the boy cannot move. He cannot move a muscle. The pony just holds him. And Kim is a little concerned, and the boy, she could see the fear in his eyes. He can't move a muscle. And then she realizes and she says, Hobbs, the horse was named with Hob, Hobbs is hugging you. I've never seen him do that before. You must be very special. The boy sat there and the horse sat there, she said, for minutes, just hugging the boy. Finally, the boy got his arm out and threw his arms around the neck of this little pony. And they sat there and they hugged. And as she's watching this little boy, Adam, he's not speaking, just whispering, he likes me, he likes me, he likes me. Finally, the pony releases the little boy. And little Adam looks up and says, he likes me. A lot of people in this community need that kind of love. A lot of people in this church need that kind of love. We're going to sing that old song, but I thought it was appropriate because we are a family. We need each other. And God wants to bring us even closer together. Let's sing this song together. Let's all stand. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in its victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm part of the family of God. Of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm part of the family